going to resume the conference committee walking through the side-by-side at this time, and I think we stopped on R31. So, Mr. Eliff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, we stopped on page R31, section 6, in the House language, which establishes a green pricing program for seabed projects, requires all electric utilities to offer that to their customers beginning in 2007. And on the bottom of page R32, as part of that program, it directs the Commissioner of Commerce to design a logo that certain entities can affix to their products and use in advertising if they're using 100% Minnesota renewable energy, that is 100% seabed energy. And the Commissioner of Commerce certifies in writing that entities are authorized to use that that logo. On page R33, the Senate language in Section 6 talks about utility acquisition of renewable resources, which was discussed earlier in House language on page R29, the Senate language being a little shorter and more direct, and the House language in R29 set up a number of conditions that the utility was required to meet regarding the acquisition and ownership of renewable resources. On the House side, on page R33, Section 7 would transfer the position of reliability administrator from the Public Utilities Commission back to the Department of Commerce, where that position resided until last session, I believe. At the bottom of the page, there's also some additional language specifying the essentially the requirements for a person holding that position, stating that the administrator must demonstrate technical training, expertise, and experience in energy reliability issues. And the language on page R34 continues discussing that shift of the position back to the Department of Commerce. And on the top of page R35, it also includes an extension of the expiration date of that position from currently June 30th of this year to June 30th of 2012. The rest of page R35 is taken up by language relating to the issue of issuing permits for wind energy conversion systems. Current language in statute requires that, I believe, systems in excess of 5 megawatts or greater have those permits issued by the State Environmental Quality Board. Smaller projects can have those permits issued at the county level. Section 7 directs that the Commissioner of Commerce will determine the total size of an aggregation of wind energy projects. Lines 438 or 418 to 423 on the Senate version, and similar language in the House establish the criteria under which projects will be aggregated. They must be located within 5 miles of each other, constructed within the same 12-month period, and exhibit various characteristics of being a single development. One difference in the language on the House side on lines 38.11 and 12 is that the in case of a dispute, the chair of the Public Utilities Commission is called upon to determine the total size of the system, and according to the House language, shall draw all reasonable inferences in favor of combining the entrance. That's combining the systems. That's language that's not present in the Senate version. Section 9 at the bottom of the page sets out a number of definitions in the House language regarding the assumption of this permitting authority by counties. And on page R36 is language in both versions that provides for that to occur. Most of it is very similar. One difference is in the middle of the page on in the House version, paragraph C and D on lines 39.4 to 39.8, asking the Commission to the Public Utilities Commission to in adopting and enforcing rules to cooperate closely with counties and other governmental agencies, and also instructing the commission to work with counties and wind developers to notify and educate stakeholders with regard to these new rules and standards for permitting. On page R37, section 10 on the House side contains a provision that amends current statute to state that a wind easement or a lease of wind rights terminates 5 years from the date the easement is created or the lease is entered into. If commercial operations do not begin within the five-year period on that portion of land. That's the Senate has a provision on page R39 at the bottom in section 11 to instructs the Legislative Electric Energy Task Force to essentially study whether the state should regulate easements, leases, and other agreements to determine whether the duration should be limited to promote wind energy development. This language by the House essentially goes ahead and makes that change. At the bottom of page R37, there's identical language regarding a statewide study of dispersed generation potential, which would take a look at dispersed energy defined as projects between 10 and 40 megawatts, requires all electric utilities in the state to participate in this, and is a two-phase study, each of which looks at taking 600 megawatts of these smaller projects and finding out where in the state they can be located while minimizing the amount of transmission infrastructure that's necessary to bring that power to market. This language is identical except at the very end on page R39 on the Senate side, line 7.17 talks about establishing procedures for handling commercially sensitive information. That's the only language difference in this provision. Again, at the bottom of R39 on the Senate side is that study for wind development property agreements. On page R40 on the House side, at the top is another provision regarding the transfer of the reliability administrator's responsibilities to the Department of Commerce. And section 13 provides for a study to be done by the reliability administrator to essentially review the agencies that are located in other states, Kansas, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming, that have authority to construct, own, operate, and maintain transmission facilities as part of the state agency, and to evaluate whether a similar organization might have the potential in Minnesota to increase the reliability and efficiency of the electrical grid in the state. And that report is to be submitted to the legislature by February 15, 2008. Section 14, the repealer, repeals the provision in the RES law that was passed earlier this session that repeals the Green Energy Pricing Program as of 2010. This would repeal that repealer. The next section, or the next article, is Article 5 on global warming, starting on page R41 with House language. Section 1 contains findings with respect to this issue, and also on line 43.8 states that this chapter may be referred to as the Global Warming Mitigation Act of 2007. Section 2 contains a number of definitions that are used in the language that follows. One I might point out is actually on section R42 at the top, subdivision 8, new large energy facility, which is important, as we'll find out later in discussing section 5 of this article, that currently exempts from that definition both natural gas peaking and intermediate plants, intermediate backup plants. At the bottom of page R42, are provisions in both the House and Senate version that established greenhouse gas emissions reduction goals for the state. The House language there has goals for the year 2015, 2025, and also 2050. The Senate language in this section contains goals only for 2050, but the identical goals for the identical years are contained in later Senate language on page R44 in subdivision 5. On page R43 on the Senate side, subdivision 2 requires by February 1st of 2008, the Commissioner of Commerce, and in consultation with commissioners from a number of agencies, the Pollution Control Agency, Housing Finance, Department of Natural Resources and Agriculture, and Employment and Economic Development and Transportation, as well as the Chair of Metropolitan Council, shall submit to the legislature a climate change action plan. The House language on page R43 also discusses the plan, has the same date by which that must be submitted to the legislature, February 1st of 2008, and kind of lays out some of the things that will be in that plan, including estimating greenhouse gas emissions for not only for the year 2005, but also for in later years, 2015, 25, and 2050, estimating reductions anticipated from implementing existing state policies, including a cap and trade system, which is described later in the language, and recommend additional goals to achieve the greenhouse gas emissions goals that were mentioned earlier. Lines 45.18 to 22 also state that the plan should recommend a system to require reporting of statewide greenhouse gas emissions by certain facilities. And the paragraph B at the bottom of the page, beginning on line 45.28, states that in formulating this plan, commissioners shall consider the broadest possible set of mechanisms to reduce emissions, giving a number of options that should be included in what the plan examines. On page R44, at the top of the page, subdivision 3 in the Senate, subdivision 2 in the House, discuss the actual planning process. Both agree on the language here is virtually identical, talking about a structured, broadly inclusive stakeholder-based review. And subdivision 4 on the Senate side also contains general elements of the plan, which clauses 1 and 2 are identical to language elsewhere on the House side. And in subdivision 3 on the House side is a section on the cap and trade system. Language says the plan must include a cap and trade system that incorporates at a minimum statewide power sector carbon dioxide emissions and lays out a number of issues that the cap and trade plan must examine, including setting an emissions cap at an initial level to prevent significant increases in emissions and a schedule for lowering that cap over years to help meet the targets that were discussed earlier. Required to maximize the state's ability to enter into allowance trading relationships with other states that have established similar cap and trade systems. It's also required to evaluate the feasibility of implementing a cap and trade system in Minnesota, in conjunction with other regional states that have such a process, and nationally as well. And a number of other provisions that have to be looked at in regards to cap and trade that extend on to page R45. In the middle of R44, we still have specific plan requirements under the Senate language. That's where those goals that were earlier were in the House language earlier are contained in lines 834 to 9.2. Much of the language in 9.3 to 9.14 is not identical, but substantively the same as regarding the cap and trade system. One difference I might point out on lines 9.15 and 9.16 in the Senate language, it says the plan must include recommendations for improvements in the emissions inventory and recommend whether the state should require greenhouse gas emissions reporting from specific sources. The earlier House language that I read indicated that there would be a required system of reporting those emissions. On page R45, towards the bottom, both the House and Senate versions talk about regional activities with respect to the plan. The Senate language, beginning on line 9.21, states that the state must, with other states in the Midwest region, develop and implement a regional approach. The House language talks about fostering regional relationships and cooperating with other states, but it does not contain the same requirement that the plan be regional. On page R46, the House language, section 5. This is language states that until the cap and trade system, which was described earlier, is fully implemented, and except for exemptions, which I'll discuss in a moment, no person shall construct a new large energy facility that would contribute to statewide power sector carbon dioxide emissions or import power from a new large energy facility in another state that would contribute to an increase in statewide carbon dioxide emissions, or enter into a long-term power purchase agreement that would have that same effect. And that's defined. A long-term power purchase agreement is defined as one that purchases 50 megawatts of capacity or more for a term exceeding 5 years. And the prohibition does not apply to an agreement that was in effect prior to January 1st, 2007, nor to the renewal of such an agreement. Subdivision 2 provides an exception from that prohibition for facilities that offset their emissions in one of two ways: by reducing an existing facility's contribution to carbon dioxide emissions in an amount equal to or greater than the proposed new contribution, or on lines 48.8 to 48.10, by purchasing allowances from a state or a group of states that has a mandatory cap-and-trade system that can produce verifiable emissions reductions. Subdivision 3, at the bottom of the page, provides an exception for from these prohibitions for a new steel production facility located in the Taconite Relief Area that has filed an application for an air quality permit with the PCA prior to January 1st, 2007. Subdivision 4 also contains some exemptions from the prohibition in Subdivision 1 for a new large energy facility or a power purchase agreement that is under consideration by the Minnesota PUC pursuant to proposals or applications filed before April 1st of 2007. Subdivision 5 talks about how this section can be enforced. Subdivision 6 requires that greenhouse gas emissions be considered in the integrated resource plans that utilities submit to the Public Utilities Commission, and that the Public Utilities Commission establish an estimate of the likely range of costs of future carbon dioxide regulation that all utilities must take into account in doing their plans. And finally, Section 7 speaks to how this greenhouse gas provision may be enforced under the provision of Chapter 116B. Article 6 is some technical language regarding the Renewable Energy Standards Law that was passed earlier this session. Section 5 just clarifies a provision regarding the proportion of energy that occurs with fuel blending that may contribute and be counted towards an RES objective. And Section 2 on page R48 specifies that any financial penalties that were imposed as a result of a failure to meet an RES shall be deposited in the energy and conservation account that's been established in the special revenue fund. That concludes the side-by-side.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Fuller?
Madam Chair, do we have Article 1 here now?
We do not at this time.
Okay.
Are there any questions or comments? We didn't stop after the seabed language. So if there are any comments that people would like to make about that or about the global warming section. What we will begin to do then is to walk through the document one more time, adopting similar language. Although I believe we'll take first just the energy efficiency language. And there is an amendment first that will be offered. So, Mr. Hilt, or Representative Hilty, are you ready for that amendment?
Well, Madam Chair, I think so. If Mr. Fuller can help us here.
6.22.
Okay.
First move to amend the side by side. Then move this amendment because it'll be included because this picks up the amendment.
All right.
Do we have this amendment? Have we asked or have?
No.
Which one?
Pass this out later.
So you want to move this or do you want to move this?
Well, I think we can.
Rebecca does, but she's gone.
Did we really?
Could you look at it just a minute?
Sure.
Exactly.
You'll need it.
Thank you.
That's just all the amendments.
To Scott, if he hasn't seen it. It's the adoption of the technical changes, except for we're going to change 6.3 to 6.2.
She's my sister.
She probably got stuff. She's like, oh, it's good for you.
Well, this is just, this is what.
Just scrape out them.
The spatula.
Yeah. Jenny's doing it.
Right. It
but show Scott first. First.
I just peeked over your shoulder, so.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Is we're taking the House language. Well, Madam Chair, since that other amendment is being copied, I don't think the sequence of events here matters. Mr. Fullerton.
I think we'll wait.
Okay.
Is this what we went through?
It is. There's one small change. Just a back in there.
Here, I got right here.
her up.
Gotta come up.
I'll fix her up.
We're just adopting similar right now. Same or similar.
It's not that many differences in SIP, is it? I mean, we're not.
Yeah, in SIP?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like almost exactly the same. Stuff.
Sure.
Comments.
So structurally, I'm still unsure.
Yeah, I know it's 1971 or something. Yeah. I told her that she'll just call me. I just know the number.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Jenny? Yes, I didn't see it. Yeah. I haven't seen this yet.
So, John, we want to move the Green Bullets Amendment first, then.
Step by step and adopt them. We want to know what we're doing.
So they'll just wait.
Yeah. If I'm doing the bills,
okay.
We'll give them that.
So what I'd like to do is go through saying Section 1 and Section 2 are virtually identical. Everything that's identical, okay, up to here. And so we say adopt that. And there's a little section here we don't know about, so it's different.
Anytime there's something in the house, there's something on
the house. She did just get the scrapings.
Yes, but
it still takes my
mind. Our
scrapings are great.
For 13.
And takes the shame.
I'm passing it on.
I have done once.
That's fine, but then, I mean, we can only say we'll adopt up to that. Then you can say this is the church.
I feel like 6:30 this morning.
Oh, you were here early? Because I came in with a meeting after you and I got off. So you got off the
camera. Where was that?
Walk through it. And
okay, well, this will give you the road.
Cross this out.
This will give you the road.
Crash on 394.
Oh.
Here's that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Pass it off to everybody.
Do you want to read through this one?
I literally get on.
Separate motions then?
I don't. I'm having a really hard time.
10 o'clock.
We might as well play 101.
Oh, thanks. This is.
You want me to explain this?
What I wanted to do was be able to walk through
title and the language of the letter. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Yours missing.
I can use it.
Is that
the title?
We still then.
Well, this is what we wrote. And I won.
Okay. That's good.
As opposed to the course of open.
I mean, it's doable.
So what I'm going to watch is for you to say, okay, on R1, the House language and the Senate language.
Okay. You have this document?
You do.
Okay, so we'll go section by section.
Okay. Okay. We will be breaking for season. Okay. We'll just do it.
We're moving out of break. We'll get it done.
I think we're organized, so we're going to get started again. And we will walk through the energy efficiency language only at this point and adopt what we can from that. And there is an amendment to it before we begin. And we will walk through it section by section so people understand what they're adopting. And then we will take a break to... while we can meet with our separate caucuses to talk about other language. Okay.
Right. Madam Chair?
Yes.
Did you want to take...
Senator Dibble?
Did you want to take the A38 amendment first?
Representative Hilty will be making that motion.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Okay. So, Representative
Madam Chair,
Hilty.
If we're ready, I will offer the A38 amendment to the House language on page R11.
Everybody has a copy of that.
Madam Chair, what this amendment does is offer an alternative certifying entity to the lead language that's in the House, both in the House and Senate language currently.
Okay, so Representative Hilty offers the A38 amendment, which adds the Green Globe certification designation. Any questions or discussions on that? Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just briefly, through a lot of research and discussion with industry experts, Senator Dibble and I have come to understand that LEED and Green Globes are quite equivalent, very closely equivalent, and this is a goal rather than a standard, rather than a mandate here. And so all energy efficient design and construction is encouraged, and happy to do what will get us to our goal.
Okay. Thank you. Any further discussion? Then on Representative Hilty's amendment to adopt the A38 amendment, all those please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Okay, so now we will begin walking through and adopting the language in the side-by-side that is same, similar, or recommended by staff or agreed upon. Okay. And I'm going to call on Mr. Fuller to take us section by section. Representative Hilty will be making the motions to adopt.
Section by section. Then he'll move them.
If there's two or three that
okay.
are...
Okay. Okay. Madam Chair, members, on R1, on the House side, Section 1 is identical to the Senate side.
And Section 2?
There's differences.
Okay. Do you want to move Section 1?
Madam Chair, I would move adoption of section one in the House of the House language for inclusion in the conference report.
Okay, discussion on that motion. All those in favor of the motion to adopt section one, please signify by stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That section is adopted.
Madam Chair, section two, this is true with several of the provisions. The same parties were working on the proposal, and as it moved different pace through the houses, it ended up in the House later, and the agreement changed in non-substantive ways. And section two is one of those. It's the same, except if you turn to R2, line 4.13 to 4.14, that is the difference. And as I said, it was not a dispute. It was an evolving agreement.
So the staff recommend the House language?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, then I would move adoption of Section 2 in the House language on page R1.
Any discussion? On the motion.
R2.
On the motion to adopt Section 2 of the House language, all those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That language is adopted.
Madam Chair, Section 3 is of the same ilk as Section 2. If you look at 4.22 to 4.23 on R2, that was just it's just a terminology change, not substance, and reflects the later agreement of the parties. We did. That's in. Now we're in Sec 3.
Okay. Section 3
then. So move the House Section 3.
Madam Chair, Mr. Fuller, on our on the sheet that we have before us,
that's right.
There is an exception for lines 5.1 to 5.3.
That's correct. So that motion would be to adopt the House Section 3, except for lines 5.1 to 5.3 on R3, and instead adopt the Senate lines 3.28 to 3.30.
Now, can people follow that? 3.28 to 3.30 at the top of R3. So we would be adopting the House language except for those three lines.
Strike 5.3.
Madam Chair, I would make that motion.
On that motion, are there any questions, any discussion? Then all those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment is adopted, or the language is adopted.
Madam Chair, on R4, Section 4 is identical between the two. So I would recommend you move the House language.
So, Madam Chair, I would move adoption of the House language on page R4, beginning on page R4 of Section 4.
On that motion, any questions? All those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed? Section 4 is adopted.
Madam Chair, on R4, Section 5, again, a situation where there's not a dispute, just a more evolved agreement, and I think just some error in putting together the document, so we would adopt the House language except for lines 6.17 to 6.22, and adopt the Senate language on lines 5.7 to 5.12. And again, this has been discussed between Senator Dibble and Representative Killen.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Let's keep going. And then on R9, we've got to adopt the House language language on 12.6 and 12.7. And it's a very minor change, and you would adopt the Senate language on 10.34 and 10.35. So there's those two small bits of Senate language. The rest would be the House.
Yes.
Section 5.
So then, Madam Chair, I would move adoption of House language of Section 5, beginning on page R4, with the exception of lines 6.17 through 6.22. In the adoption of Senate lines 5.7 to 5.12 on page R9, House language except for lines 12.6 through 12.7, and instead the adoption of Senate language lines 10.34 and 10.35.
Anybody have any questions about that motion? Are you able to follow it, Representative Kalin?
Madam Chair, I just want to make sure that I'm tracking, as well as everyone else, that this section proceeds all the way to the end of R17. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Excellent. Thank
just
you.
Just a minute. Did amend that section. Yeah. And this is the amended section also.
Yes.
Any questions about that? Then on Representative Hilty's motion, all those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Section, what was that? Five.
Madam Chair, that gets us up to Section 6.
Section 5 with the exceptions was adopted from the House language.
Section on R18. The Senate, there was a punctuation difference, and preference was for Senate Section 6. And on R18, it would be the House Section 7, 8, and 9. So on R18, it's Section 6 from the Senate and Sections 7, 8, and 9 from the House.
Six from the Senate?
Yes.
Why don't we take six first?
Yeah. Madam Chair, I'd make that motion to adopt the Senate language on page R18, Section 6.
So on the motion to adopt the Senate language in Section 6, any questions or comments?
Madam Chair, I fought hard for the House position, but Senator Dibble just he broke me on that
comment.
Overruled.
Okay. Any further comments or questions? On that motion, then, all those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Section 6 is adopted.
And, Madam Chair, then on page R18 as well, I would move adoption of the House language of Sections 7, 8, and 9.
Any questions or comments on that motion? All those in favor of adoption of Sections 7, 8, and 9 from the House language, please signify by stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Sections are adopted.
Madam Chair, we're now moving to the miscellaneous article. Article 1, the House language, they're identical. Section 1, I mean. And so is Section 2. No, wait a second. Section 1. I'm sorry. Section 1 is identical.
And so, Madam Chair, on page R19, I would move adoption of the House language in Section 1.
Questions or comments on Representative Hilty's motion to adopt Section 1? All those in favor, signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Section 1 is adopted from the miscellaneous article.
And members, on R19, on the Senate side, you can draw an X through Section 2 because that we adopted, it was just located in a different spot, and we adopted the House language earlier. And then if you go to R20, Section 3.
Well, just a minute. We're going to put a hold on Section 2 at this time.
Okay. R20, Section 3, the House language. It's not identical, but the Senate had a typo, so the House language.
So, Madam Chair, on page R20, I would move adoption of the House language of Section 3.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor of adopting Section 3, the House language, please signify by stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion adopted.
On R21, House language, Section 4, that's identical. I recommend the House language.
So, Madam Chair, I would make the motion on page R21 to adopt the House language of Section 4.
That goes
through
R22.
Correct.
Questions or comments on that motion? And all those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Section 4 is adopted.
And Madam Chair, on R23, both House Section, they're identical, so House Section 5 and 6.
So, Madam Chair, I would make that motion as well on page R23 to adopt the House language of Sections 5 and 6.
Questions or comments on that motion? All those in favor then signify by stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Section 5 and 6 are adopted.
Then, Madam Chair, Section 7 is not a same or similar on the House side.
So we'll hold on that at this time.
And then I think the effective date, Madam Chair, on page R24.
Okay. Madam Chair, I would move adoption of
Section 8.
Page R24, the House language in Section 8.
Okay. On Representative Hilty's motion, any questions or comments? All those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Section 8 of the House language is adopted. And that brings us to the end of our energy efficiency bill. Evan, what about?
Madam Chair.
Representative Hilty.
Thank you. On the two sections that we have in the House language that we that are not contained in the Senate language that we have not yet moved on, I should explain. I think the House members are familiar with these provisions, but I should explain for the Senate conferees. On page R20, language in Section 2 dealing with Manitoba Hydro, Madam Chair and members, Environment and Energy Finance Bill that was passed and signed by the governor a few days ago. It's kind of foggy. It was It happened sometime in the past. contained the language that you see in Section 2, with the exception of the due language on lines 23.11 and 23.12, which were added as an amendment when the Senate File 145 was debated on the House floor. What this constitutes basically is kind of a softening of the language or a refining of the language that was passed previously to make clear that what is being asked for here is being asked of Manitoba Hydro and not of the government of Canada or the province of Manitoba. This has been an issue of some controversy in the House, and I think this represented at least a partial resolution of the concern over this provision. That's why it's here, and I should make clear that as it did represent something of a compromise with the people that had concern about the original language, if we did fail to adopt this, it would revert to the original language, and people should just be aware of that. And Madam Chair and members, as regards the other provision in Section 7 that is not included in the Senate language.
No.
There have been a number of attempts by members in the House to address the question of nuclear energy and its future or lack thereof in Minnesota. We have, I believe, three separate bills introduced in the House dealing with nuclear energy, and I have promised the authors of those bills that in the interim we would have either in my Energy Policy and Finance Committee in the House or through the Legislative Electric Energy Task Force to hold hearings to kind of air this out and have a thorough discussion of what the future of both existing and possibly proposed new nuclear energy facilities in the state might be. An amendment for a study was introduced when we were discussing Senate File 145 in the House, and since it basically said what I had previously told the people that had brought these concerns forward that we would do anyway, I thought the simplest thing would be simply to accept that amendment, which is how it came to be in the bill.
Okay. So we'll hold on those two sections at this time. I don't know if you want to discuss them at all here.
Senator Dibble had it.
Senator Dibble.
Just a question if we're taking discussion now at this time, or I can hold it until...
We can certainly discuss it.
Well, I just had a simple question, Madam Chair. Did I hear Representative Hilty correctly when he said that the Legislative Electric Energy Task Force could carry out this study regardless of what we do, regardless of what we pass or don't pass
Representative
in this bill?
Madam Chair, Senator Dibble, if I understand the question correctly, it is, would the Legislative Electric Energy Task Force have the ability or option to do this, whether or not this language exists in the bill?
Exactly.
That's my understanding. I guess we would.
Thank you.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm looking at the date of the study report when it's due, March 1st of 2008. Has the Legislative Electric Energy Task Force comply with the feasibility of being able to collect all this information as far as health effects and cost and benefits? A year from now, will they be able to give us a thorough, detailed report on what they found?
Well, to my knowledge, the Legislative Electric Energy Task Force hasn't met for a few years, but it has a substantial amount of work to do this year. So I think that we will be meeting, and it is legislators that are on the task force.
And Madam Chair, Senator Rosen, I don't know if you are familiar with the structure of the task force, but it does have assessment capability to fund its activities up to, I believe, $250,000 a year. So it does have the capability of hiring staff to do work if we choose to do that.
Any further questions or comments? So what we have done is adopted the first section of our conference committee report, the energy efficiency and conservation section, and which is a good start. Mm-hmm. But I think now would be a good time for us to take a break. We'll recess until 3 o'clock.
All right. All right, now I'm ready for my nap.
You, buddy.
Yeah, totally.
Loving it. Loving it.
3 hours made me sleepy.
So you want to know?
I'm going to make sure my raise in my bachelor recovery.
Right now, it's Mr. Wilson. No. If there's any leftovers, they stole them.
Dozens.
Is Shep Harris here? I got something.
Well, wasn't any new language.
Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, and I'm not sure if it was.
Oh,
yeah.